Yahweh, the hour is come again that your son Yeshua, whom the Greeks call Jesus, must be lifted up. For Yeshua said, and if I be lifted up, I, Jesus, will draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. So lift Jesus up today again. May Jesus be seen clearly. May Jesus be heard and understood without any ambiguity. And when this experience shall have come to a pause, may Jesus be honored. May Jesus be obeyed, for thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory forever. The people of God say amen and amen. I want to call your attention to two passages of scripture that we will use this morning to buttress the word that God has for us. Our preaching passage, if you have your Bibles, is found in the second book of the Hebrew Bible, which is the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 14. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Then we're going to drop down to verse 8 through 16. Exodus chapter number 14, verses 1 and 2, and verses 8 through 16. And for our collateral passage, we will look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. But now let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 8 through 16. If I was at my church in person, I'll say, if you have it, or when you have it, let me hear you say amen. But I know you have it. I'm going to be coming out of the King James version of the Bible. You can read out of your favorite version of the Bible. Exodus chapter number 14 and verse 1 reads, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, above and against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamped by the sea. Now let's drop to verse number 8. Verse number 8 says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, all his horses, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel, bless God, went out with an high hand. Thank you, Jesus. But the Bible says, the Egyptians pursued after the children of Israel, all their horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. Hallelujah. And they overcame them by the sea. The Bible says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and were sore. Excuse me. I need to go back. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, that is, the Egyptians were marching behind them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Verse 12 says, is this not the word that we had made or tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it is better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. The Bible says in verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that he will do unto you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord will fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And then the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said, wherefore criest thou unto me? Amen. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but thou put up thy rod, or lift up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, that the children of Israel go out on dry land through the midst of the sea. Have mercy, Jesus. I thank God for his spirit and for reminding me of this word that I'm trying to read without looking at a Bible. But Yahweh be praised anyhow. Now we're going to go to our collateral passage, and we find it in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. And it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Thank you, Jesus. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Father, I pray again right now that you keep the enemy at bay, and that you speak your word, and that you speak it with power and with precision and with clarity, that your people will hear and understand. And God, that they will move to do that which you have empowered them to do. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If I were to put a tag on this message this morning, it would be stand, speak, and stretch. A prescription for overcoming your crises. I'm going to say that again. Stand, speak, and stretch. A prescription for overcoming your crisis. I know you are not alone. Somebody sit next to you in your house, in your living room, wherever you are. Turn to your neighbor and say, stand, speak, and stretch. This is the prescription for your crisis. Have you ever been in a crisis? No, my friends, I'm not talking about a headache that can be remedied by an aspirin or ibuprofen. No, I'm not talking about waking up tired in the morning and too tired to go to work, so you use a sick day to call them. That's not the crisis that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being hungry, but too lazy to get up and walk to the refrigerator, make yourself a sandwich and some juice or something to drink. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. My question to you is, have you ever been in a crisis? I'm talking about a pandemic size crisis that has brought the whole world to be stuck under a rock and a rock. A crisis that has brought whole governments to their knees. A crisis, beloved, that has caused hundreds of thousands to get sick and die indiscriminately. A crisis that has caused millions to be unemployed and standing in line, asking and begging for food and work. A crisis that has caused families, beloved, to choose between dying by going out and trying to make a living and being infected by COVID-19, or choosing to die by staying home and being poor and stressed and not sending their children to school to prepare for their future. That's the kind of crisis that I'm talking about. And beloved, this is the kind of crisis that we find the children of Israel in this morning. It is a crisis of no small proportion. And so this morning, I invite you to walk with me through the twists and turns of our text. Exodus chapter 14. Because there I believe that we will learn from some lessons from the experience of the children of Israel that will give us a prescription for our crisis. Is anybody hearing me this morning? The Bible begins with the children of Israel being in Egypt for 430 years, according to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 41, and Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17, and 320 of those years they were in bondage under the yoke of Pharaoh. And now, beloved, they are exiting Egypt. Yahweh has heard their cry because of the wickedness of their taskmasters, and he has sent Moses to be his hand of deliverance to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And now they are exiting Egypt, and Yahweh tells Moses to tell the children of Israel to encamp before the Red Sea. The children of Israel find themselves facing the mighty and unmerciful Red Sea, with the Pi-Hahiroth mountain range on one side and the Beelzebub mountain range on the other. And to add insult to injury, the dust that is evidence of the galloping hoof of Pharaoh's horses and the squeaking sound of the wheels of his chariot, a scene behind the children of Israel, and this same like mom, they are in a cul-de-sac with nowhere to go. This, beloved, is a crisis. Oh yes, this is a crisis when you have a sea before you and mountain on your left and mountain ranges on your right, and an army angry coming behind you. You are in a crisis. Israel found themselves in a crisis, and what they did, beloved, is what is naturally the response of people who find themselves in crisis without their faith anchored in God. The second scene that we see in this story of the children of Israel encamping by the Red Sea, it's what I call the complaining and the blaming. Turn to your partner and say, the complaining and the blaming. Beloved, whenever people find themselves in crises, whenever people without faith in God, people who do not recognize the fact that Yahweh has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, wherever they find themselves in crises, the first response, the natural and rational response of people in that situation is to complain and to blame others. The Bible says that they begin to complain and point their finger. We see that in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, and they said unto Moses, because there was no grave in Egypt, you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. What is this that you have done to us? Is this not what we told you when we were in Egypt, to leave us alone so that we may serve the Egyptians, because it is better, have mercy, Jesus, for us to be enslaved in Egypt, for us to serve the Egyptians, rather than to die in the wilderness. Oh, beloved, I just want you to know that when people find themselves in crises, people who do not really have faith in God, when they find themselves in crisis, they're always pointing the finger. They're always blaming other people. They're always complaining, and they seem to fall victim to the spirit of nostalgia. They're always talking about how things used to be instead of how things ought to be. They're always talking about what they used to do instead of what God is trying to get them to do. They always want to go back to how things were instead of being excited about how things are becoming. And I don't know who I'm speaking to this morning, but we are in a crisis. And it is not shocking and surprising to see all of the finger pointing and to see all of the blaming going on, because that's what happens when people who do not have faith find themselves in crisis. And so leaders are not supposed to be surprised. Leaders are not supposed to be shocked. But what we see in this text is not only that Moses is surprised, but that Moses is shocked and joins the people in complaining and crying to God. Have mercy, Jesus. This is not what leaders are supposed to do in a crisis. Leaders are not supposed to blame other people. Leaders are not supposed to complain. Leaders are not supposed to act like the people are acting, especially spiritual leaders. In times of crisis, beloved, I stopped by to tell you this morning that spiritual leaders are supposed to be prayerful, are supposed to be patient, and are supposed to be pleasant. Let me say that again. Spiritual leaders in times of crises are supposed to be prayerful, patient, and pleasant. Oh, but our text shows that this is not how we find Moses. Moses is not prayerful. Moses is not pleasant. Moses is not patient, but Moses joins the people to complain and to bellyache and to cry. Oh, beloved, we are in a crisis. If I had a word to say to the leaders in our world, if I had a word to say to the leaders in America, if I had a word to say to not just the leaders of government, but spiritual leaders this morning, I will say, don't be shocked and don't be surprised that the people are complaining and blaming, but you as a leader cannot join the people in complaining and blaming and pointing fingers. You as a leader must be prayerful and be patient and be pleasant, because this is the sign of great leadership. Oh, but Moses was not exhibiting this form of leadership. One of the things that we know about Moses is that he was not patient. The Bible does not give Moses credit for being patient. When you read Hebrews chapter 11 in the catalog of the faithful, the Bible says that Moses was faithful, and Moses was humble, and Moses was meek. But it doesn't say that Moses was patient. And we see this impatience of Moses here in our text in Exodus chapter 14 at the encampment of the children of Israel by the sea. We see this impatience of Moses, beloved, in Exodus chapter 32 and verse 19 at the feet of Mount Horeb, when Moses takes the two tables of stone that bears the Ten Commandments that were written by the finger of God and threw it down because of his impatience with the patience with the people of God. We see it again in Numbers chapter 20 and verse 7 through 11, where Moses at the desert of Zin is upset and impatient with the people, and he strikes the rod instead of speaking to the rod. He was not prayerful, he was not patient, and he was not pleasant. And I stopped by to tell some leader and to tell the people of God today, it was this impatience that caused Moses to not make it to the promised land. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me this morning. Instead of leading the people, Moses was lamenting his own discontent. Instead of Moses protecting the people, he was being petty and polarizing. Oh, beloved, instead of Moses encouraging the people, Moses was impatient and indulged in self-pity. He was crying with the people and complaining with the people. But I thank God that because of his love and his mercy toward us, he does not leave us to be victims of our weaknesses and our flaws. The Bible said that God did something for Moses, and I thank God that he's a God of love and a God of mercy. The old songwriter says he looks beyond our faults and he sees our need. Oh, bless his name this morning. So the third scene that we encounter in this story of the encampment of the Israelites at the Red Sea is the concern and comforting command of Yahweh. Turn to your neighbor and say, the concern and comforting command of Yahweh. I'm so glad that Yahweh is concerned about us. I'm so glad this morning that Yahweh does not write me off because of my impatience and because of my complaining and because of my sense of discouragement during crisis. I'm so glad. Oh, beloved, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15 and 16 gives us this concern and comforting command of Yahweh. Here's what the text says. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou to me? Oh, have mercy, Jesus. Wherefore criest thou to me? Speak to the children of Israel that they may go forward. But you lift up your rod and stretch it over the sea and divide it, that the children of Israel will walk on dry land through the midst of the sea. God was saying to Moses, stop complaining, Moses. God was saying to Trump, I mean, Moses, stop complaining, stop pointing fingers and blaming everybody else. God would say, why are you crying? You are supposed to be a man of courage. You are supposed to be a man of power. Why are you always belly aching? Why is it always about you, Moses? Why are you always throwing up temper tantrum and having a pity party? Moses, protect the people. Don't polarize the people. Moses, stand up and be a leader. Don't be a complainer. God was saying to Moses, you've got everything that you need to do what I called you to do. I'm not giving you anything else, Moses. You got everything that you need. I give you everything that you needed to be able to do what I called you to do when I met you by the mountain. I give you everything that you needed when I sent you to stand before Pharaoh. What did God give Moses? God gave Moses the word and a rod. Oh, beloved, I wish somebody would hear me today. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got everything that you need for this crisis. You got a word and a rod. What is the word? The word represents Yeshua, our Maker, our Redeemer, and our soon coming King. And the rod represents the cross. The rod represents the fact, beloved, that Yahweh will go to any length because of his love for us, that Yahweh will do whatever it takes to save us, to deliver us, to protect us, to make us secure. That's why he says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content, oh bless his name, with that which you have. For he, Yahweh, has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got everything that you need. You got the word and you got a rod. The word, John introduces us to the word in John 1 and verse 1 when he says, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God. Bless God. And the word was God. Come here, Isaiah, and tell us what the rod is. Isaiah explains to us what the rod is in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. He said he was wounded. Oh, bless his name. For our transgressions, he was bruised. For our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Beloved, Moses had the word and the rod. It was the word that Moses had when he stood before Pharaoh, the highest post. And he said to Pharaoh, Yahweh has sent me to say, let his people go. And when Pharaoh said, who is your God that I should let Pharaoh go? Moses took the rod, and when he stretched it there, the Bible says that the water turned to blood. It was the rod that Moses used when dust turned to knots and lice. It was the rod that Moses used when Pharaoh's house was full of frogs. It was the rod that Moses used when hails came down on Egypt but did not touch Goshen where the children of Israel were. It was the rod. I wish somebody would hear me today. Moses had a word and the rod. Just like Moses, in a time of his crisis, beloved, we too, in our crisis, have the word and a rock. God is not giving us anything else. Turn to your neighbor and say, use what you got. Because you got everything you need. You got a word and a rock. Oh, beloved, it was this concern and comforting command that caused Moses to get up from his bed of tears and complaining and blaming, dust off his knee and his elbow, and lifted up his chest. And the last thing that we see in this story of the children of Israel encamped by the Red Sea in crisis is a courageous and calming power of faith-based leadership. Let me say that again, because somebody needs to write this down. The courageous and calming power of faith-based leadership. Here we go in review. We started with a crisis. Then we went to the complaining and the blaming. And then we went to the concern and comforting command of Yahweh. What is in your hand? Use it. Now we've come to Moses now, oh bless God, being encouraged and empowered by the comforting command of Yahweh. And Moses stands up now with this courageous and calming power with which he speaks to the children of Israel. We find that in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14, where Moses says, stand still. Oh, bless God. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, what he shall show to you today. Watch this. Look behind you, Moses says. The Egyptians whom you are seeing today, you will see them again no more, forever. Where did Moses get such courageous and calming power? He got it from a concerned God who comforts him by saying, Moses, why are you crying and complaining like the people? Tell the people to stand still. And beloved, this courageous and calming power is where we find the efficacy of the prescription for overcoming our crises. What is this prescription? The prescription first is stand still. Oh, beloved, if you and I are going to overcome, if we're going to make it through our crises, if we're going to be able to get through this Red Sea experience, we have to stand still. Yahweh told Moses, speak to the people. And Moses began to give the word, stand still. Oh, beloved, I understand the meaning of standing still. When I was young, I had to be about maybe 7 or 8 years old. I was afraid of lightning and thunder. Oh my God. I couldn't stand lightning and thunder. Elder Landry, and one day, it was storming. Me and my siblings, you know, we were with our dad, and the lightning flashed. And I was about to scream because I knew after the flash of the lightning came that thunder that I was so afraid of. And my daddy went, shh.
Hush.
Yes, sir. And all of us quiet down. And the thunder bellowed, and I didn't even hear the thunder. Why didn't I hear the thunder, Elder Wilson? I didn't hear the thunder because when my dad said,
hush,
I expected to hear my father say something. So instead of focusing on the thunder that was coming, I started to focus on my father and waiting to hear a word from him. My dad did not say anything, but we were all still, and the thunder roared, and we didn't even hear. I didn't even hear. Why? Because I was focused on my dad. I stopped by to tell somebody today, if you are going, do not hear the thunders around you and all of the clamoring and all of the fearful news and the things that are causing your world to be turned upside down. Stand still.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The second thing in this prescription is speak up. Oh, beloved, God told Moses in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, speak, oh, bless God, to the children of Israel. Use the word. You have the word. The word is what you need. You don't need to be speaking defeat and speaking fear and speaking losing this victory. Speak power. What is the word? Isaiah 54 and verse 17. No weapon, oh bless God, formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against me in judgment, Yahweh will condemn. Why? Because I am the heritage of God. Speak the word. What's the word? 2 Timothy 7 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Though God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That's the word. What is the word? Isaiah 26 and verse 3. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him, for he trusted in him. Bless God. What is the word? 1 John 4 and verse 4. Greater is he that is in you and in me than he that is in the word. You got to speak the word. What is the word, Berean? Psalms 118 and verse 17. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Is anybody listening to me this morning? Speak the word. You got to speak life into your life. The Bible said the power of life and death is in the tongue. Yeshua is the word, and he has given us the word. It was the word that Moses used to shake Egypt off its foundation. Now Moses gets by the Red Sea, and he's panicking because the people are panicking. He's complaining because the people are complaining. He's blaming because the people are blaming and pointing finger. Oh, no, no. But Yahweh speaks to Moses, bless his name. And now Moses is reinvigorated with his marching order and the command that God had given him. And now Moses is not only telling the people to stand, but he himself is standing. Stand still. Oh, bless God. And see the deliverance of the Lord. Moses is speaking the word. Then the last thing in this prescription is to stretch out. Yahweh says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 16, stretch forth your hand. Look at the power that is in this stretching. He said, stretch forth your hand and divide the sea. Have mercy. Oh, beloved, what this tells us is don't curl up. Don't go in a fetal position. Don't throw in the flag, the white flag of surrender. Don't cave in. Don't be so fearful. Stretch out. If there was ever a time, Berean, if there was ever a time, people of God, I don't know who's listening to me this morning, what you are going through and where you are in this crisis with this pandemic that has taken over the whole world. But if there was ever a time for the people of God to stop belly aching, to stop being fearful, to stop complaining, and to stretch out on faith and begin to do things that were never thought about, things that are extraordinary, things that are not normal. If there was ever a time, that time is now. Turn to somebody and say, stretch out. Oh, beloved, if we are going to be able to make it through this pandemic, then we got to stand, we got to speak, and we got to stretch. Oh, I wish I had time to tell the rest of the stuff. But the Bible says, oh, bless God. Preach when Moses told the people to stand.
Take your time.
When Moses spoke up and when Moses stretched.
Yes, sir.
The Red Sea opened, oh, bless God. Wall on one side and wall on the other side. And this is what I want to tell you before I close this message. Beloved, the shout of Landry in this message is not the fact that the Red Sea opened.
Come on now.
The shout in this message is not the fact that Moses used a rock to open the sea. The shout in this message, Berean, is not the fact that Pharaoh and his army drowned in the Red Sea. You know why? Because that's what Yahweh had planned to do anyway.
Come on now, make it plain.
He told Moses in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 1 through 4, he said, I want you to encamp by the Red Sea. I know Pahaharoth is on your right and Beelzebub is on your left, but Pharaoh will think that you are stopped. You go back and read the text. He will think that the wilderness have eaten you up and he will come after you. I'm setting him up so that I can show my glory through him. So God had already planned that he was going to get Pharaoh in the Red Sea. He didn't tell Moses how he was going to do it. He just told Moses, park your convoy right there and see me at. So the shout in this text and the lesson that you and I need to learn, people of God and as leaders, beloved, is trusting God.
That's right.
To the point that when we are in crisis, we can be prayerful, we can be patient, and we can be pleasant. Don't have a nasty attitude in a crisis.
Come on, Dad.
Don't polarize the people in a crisis. Don't be petty in a crisis.
Preach.
But be prayerful, be patient, and be blessed. This is the shout of this text.
Yes.
And this is what we need to learn from this. Oh, beloved, Yahweh blew on the Red Sea. He constructed the first interstate highway. Wow. And he didn't even need a tunnel. And Moses and the children of Israel went on dry ground. The Bible says that Pharaoh and his army drowned. Oh, beloved, as I bring this message to a close, I want you to know that we can survive this crisis, that we can make it through this crisis, that you can make it through what you are going through, that you can make it through the situations that are going on in your home, in your family, on your job. You can make it through what's going on in your body. You can make it through what's going on in your family. You can make it. But if you are going to be able to make it, Yahweh has given us two things, two resources, the word and the rod. We have God and we have the blood, and we have to stand still under that blood-stained banner. Three things that we need to do, that is the prescription for overcoming our crisis. We need to stand still. We need to speak up, and we need to stretch out. So as I close, I want you to know that if we stand, if we speak, and if we stretch, then Yahweh, who has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us, will blow on our Red Sea. And our Red Sea will open, and we will be able to go through on dry ground. Yahweh will cause our enemies, oh bless God, to be our footstool. Yahweh will open doors that can never be opened by anybody else, and shut doors that no one can open. Yahweh will feed us. Yahweh will heal us. Yahweh will protect us. Yahweh will give us peace when we stand, when we speak, and when we all bless his name. When we stand, speak, and stretch.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you, friend. Praise the Lord.
He that shall come will come.
Yes, sir.
And will not tarry. Oh, so the redactor of Hebrews says in 13 verse 6, so that we can boldly say, the Lord is our helper. We will not fear what man do to us.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, beloved, stand, speak.
Yes.
So that God can do what he wants to do in your life. This is not. Tell yourself, I will claim Psalms 118 and verse 7. I shall not die. Hey, but live and declare the glory of God. The enemy tried to attack my mind this morning when I was reading my scripture text. But I'm so glad that the Lord reminded me of Psalms 118. And verse 7, I shall not die. I shall not be
shut
down. I shall not shut up. I'll speak and declare the glory of God. And I just want to ask you a little crazy question. Won't he heal us? Won't he protect us? Won't he provide for us? Won't he give us peace? Won't he deliver us? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust on sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Hey, got your lean on. Oh, Christ, the solid rock I stand. All the ground is sinking, said Yahweh will take us through this crisis because we have learned the prescription, and we will stand, we will speak, and we will stretch. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise the
Lord.
Oh,
Yahweh, we thank you.
Praise the Lord.
This morning for your word.
It's powerful.
We thank you for the prescription for overcoming our crisis. Pray for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that is dealing with something that they don't think they're going to get through. God, may they use the word and the rod this morning.
Yeah.
May they stand, may they speak up, and may they stretch out.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus' name. Amen.